Our next speaker is Kim Holmes. Kim is a assistant engineering evaluation center at the University of Australia. And he's going to talk to us about exploring intelligent enterprise system implementation.
For my presentation today, my paper was about intelligent enterprises and some of the limitations of the ideas of intelligent enterprises. But since I was in the System of Systems forum, I decided that what I should do is give a little background information about the background information you'd need to read the paper. And concentrate on the relationship with System of Systems. And so what I decided to do was give a metasystems primer and spend a little bit of time differentiating what I call metasystems from systems of systems. And, you know, metasystems are a different way of looking at things than systems. And so what I want to try to do here is a more theoretical exercise is just sensitize you to the idea that there might be other ways of looking at things than systems or systems of systems. So in my research, what I'm doing is I'm looking at something I call schemas. And the basic idea is that we use the term system too much. We use this term system for everything. And so it's very difficult to say what a system means because we're using it in many different contexts to mean many different things. And so one of the things that I've done to try to clarify this is look for other things like the schema systems and try to explore what are the relationships between these things. And so an example of a schema, and we've just had a meeting of the complex systems working group, and one of the things I was saying was that during the whole tradition of the West, the major schema by which everything was judged was form. Okay, and so it's only at the beginning of the 20th century or some in the 18th and 19th century, somewhere in there, that our tradition started focusing on the fact that there's other things than form, other ways of looking at things than form. And at the beginning of the 20th century, two different ways of looking at things beside form became important. One of them was pattern, and the other one was system. And the system way of looking at things has become more successful and has become a separate discipline, an interdisciplinary discipline within academia called systems theory. And systems theory is something that could be a foundation for systems engineering. Unfortunately, most systems engineers don't know much about systems theory. But if perhaps in the future, our educational system for future systems engineers will emphasize that more. The other schema, pattern, became called structuralism and was very successful in science. I mean, the biggest success was the table of elements is a structural way of looking at things. And so during the last century, for the most part, there were two ways of looking at things that were very successful besides form, which is pattern or structure, and the other was system. And so one of the things that I did was I started looking for all of the examples of these various schemas and tried to figure out their relations to each other. And what I discovered was that we seem to have a blind spot in our culture for one particular schema. And I call that schema a metasystem. And the reason I call it a metasystem, you know, the other ones I mentioned, when I say form, when I say system, when I say pattern, you pretty well know what I mean in terms of a way of looking at things. But if I say to you, what is the dual of a system? In other words, if you take a system and you invert it from a kind of mathematical category point of view, What is the dual of it? Well, we don't know. They're in the if you look in the literature, you can't find that dual. And so what I did was I tried to figure out what was the dual of the system, and I came up with this answer, which is that the meta system is a different schema than the system. And the point that I want to make, you know, and we'll go into in more detail here, is that we pretty well understand the hierarchy from subsystems to systems to supersystems, right? And we're expecting to get emergent characteristics to appear at each one of those levels. And the but we don't talk about de-emergence very often. And it turns out that this metasystem schema appears when you do de-emergence. And one of the ways that the metasystem schema is different from the system schema is that the metasystem schema covers the environment. So basically all systems have boundaries, and we talk about the boundary of the system, but what's outside of that, for the most part, we assume is a plenum, just a blank environment. And actually, usually the environments themselves have order to them, an organization of their own. And so that organized environment is what I'm calling a metasystem. So I'm using the word meta in terms of the word beyond rather than that logical types up. I'm talking meta, meaning what's beyond the system. And so the one of the things that I've done is I've developed a way of looking at the difference between systems and metasystems in terms of formalization. And one of the things I've discovered is that you can describe both systems and metasystems in terms of the same representation, which is a Turing machine. But the difference is that normally we look at there's a Turing machine and then there's a universal Turing machine. Now, a universal Turing machine is a Turing machine that runs other Turing machines. In other words, it's like an operating system for Turing machines. And so you can use the Turing machine representation to represent applications on your computer, and you can use the Turing machine to represent the operating system on your computer. And these are two completely different kinds of systems. They're organized in completely different ways. One uses resources, the other offers resources to applications to be used. So it's interesting that the same representation can be used to describe both systems and metasystems. And then I found a theorist, and his name is Bataille, and he actually describes the difference between these two kinds of ways of looking at things, these two schemas. And he uses a different terminology. He talks about general economies and restricted economies. And so when I use the word metasystem, I'm saying the same thing as Bataille is using when he talks about general economies. And a really good example of this is the relationship of nation states to international waters. And if you consider all of the things that happen, there's been just a book published recently about I can't remember the title, but it's basically the lawlessness of the seas and how a lot of piracy is happening in international waters and reflagging of ships and the contraband and the smuggling that's going on, because no international waters is some place where no one has control except exactly where they're sitting, and then you have to outgun whoever you're confronting. And this is very different from the notions of control we have within the nation state. And it's just very interesting that globally we have this reservoir of chaos called international waters. And so globally, in terms of nation states, we have the meta system and the system together within the global economy. And one of the differences for Bataille between the meta system and the system is that a meta system a lot of times operate in irrational ways we would consider irrational. Most of our economics are about restricted economies, where we consider the behavior of the people within the economy, within that market, as rational. But there's a lot of irrational economic practices. There's black markets and smuggling and all these other things that actually go on. And what Bataille did is he went around and studied all of these various economies that have been reported on anthropologically that exhibit some of these extreme irrational behaviors, and tried to come up with a general theory to cover what is not covered by our current economic theory. So one of the major points about the relationship of systems to metasystems is that if you take a system, it has its environment on the outside, but it also has an environment on the inside that it's providing for its subsystems. And when you start looking at those environments, those nested environments, what you see is that there's a nesting, and alternate nesting, so that you have a super system, and within it will have its metasystem, and within that metasystem, many different systems will operate, and then each one of those systems will have their metasystems, their operating environment, in which many subsystems will operate. And one of the things we don't do is we have a tendency to design the system and not consider the operating environment. We restrict our focus to the system itself, and not consider these things that where there's unintended consequences, where there's indirect influence. Those kinds of things are usually not considered in our systems engineering work. And so one of the things I want to suggest is that we need to do not just systems engineering, but metasystems engineering. And when we start talking about ecological problems that we have because of the systems we build, like the transportation system, for instance, which is affecting the global, the atmosphere and so forth, that's an example of unintended consequences. When the engineer who designed the car didn't think about the problem when there was a billion of them. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm saying, that we need to engineer systems, but we also need to engineer these metasystems. And in order to engineer them, we've got to understand them. And that's an area where we kind of have a blind spot in our culture. So I just wanted to give you a little example of what the metasystem characteristics are. One of the things about when you talk about a system is that a lot of times a system is an open system that's trying to maintain its viability within an environment. And it usually does that with a negative feedback loop. And so you can think of the relationship between the system and the metasystem as like a small ship on high seas where there's a storm. And the metasystem is like those high seas, and that ship is trying to maintain its viability through negative feedback. And so one of the characteristics of a metasystem is that you have positive feedback in both a negative and a positive direction, which are represented here by the peak and the valleys, which you can think of as the high waves and the troughs between the waves. Another thing that you have in the metasystem is singularities. In other words, they are places where the laws of the system break down for some unknown reason, because the scope of our restricted economies are so narrow that we can't see when we run up against a wall that's actually there in the metasystem. And so we experience these singularities as invisible walls that we just run straight into without knowing that they're there. But if we took a wider view of the metasystem, we'd realize that from the point of view of a restricted economy, that there were these singularities where the rules of the restricted economy break down. And a good example of that is in physics. Black holes have singularities in them where physics, the laws of physics break down. And we don't really understand what goes on there, but we know that they exist now because we're seeing things like a galactic lensing that's occurring in space because of its bending. We don't understand what the singularity is, but we know that they're there and that that's a real phenomena. And one of the ideas of metasystem theory is that these singularities exist in other domains as well. And another really good model of metasystems is there's a theorist called René Thom, and his name is spelled T-H-O-M, René Thom, and he came up with a thing called catastrophe theory. And one of the things that he has in catastrophe theory is the idea that the control space will have folds in it, and the movement within the control space will cause these discontinuous, non-linear effects in the control space, and the target space. And so another good theory that tells us about metasystem effects is catastrophe theory. Now, when you're looking at metasystems, they basically break down into four parts. And they're called the source, the origin, the arena, and the boundary or horizon. And the idea basically is that there's an arena, and in that arena, systems interact. But you'll have some place in that arena where those systems come pop into existence, right? And then they go through their life cycle and interact with other systems, and then they'll vanish out of the arena. And what's happening is that they're appearing from their source, and then they're going back to their source usually. And a way of thinking about this is the transportation system is a metasystem. And so you can kind of look at it in different scopes, but if you just consider the highway system, for instance, you'll have cars, the systems, entering the highway, which is the highway system, which is the metasystem, and they come on ramps and they go off ramps. But there's showrooms, there's gas stations, there's all kinds of source places off of the highways where these things come from, and they enter the metasystem of the highway system, and then within that arena there are boundaries like the lines in the road and the partition down the center of the road and so forth, where you can either cross or not cross. And so the boundaries within the metasystem, that arena, are fairly well defined. And so usually when you're looking at these metasystems, what you're looking for are these four things: the boundaries, the arena, the source, and the origins or sink. And another point is that this boundary or horizon is not the boundary of the system. A lot of times these boundaries are of metasystems are unreachable, or they're global. In other words, you know, you can go around the whole Earth and you'll come back to the same place. You won't cross any boundary, but there's always a horizon of some sort to a transportation system. So another way that I want to try to get this point across is to distinguish between perceptual and conceptual ways of looking at this. And an interesting thing about the literature on this is that we all are probably fairly familiar with Gestalt theory, and Gestalt is a tension between figure and ground. And so one of the things that's kind of interesting is that the Gestalts have a dual to them, which are flows. And so the conceptual difference is the difference between systems and processes, and the perceptual difference is between Gestalts and flows. But those two things have duals themselves, which I call the proto-Gestalt and the proto-flow, and they relate to these metasystems and metaprocesses. And I'll try to make that more clear. So one thing about a metasystem, and one way to think about it, is that the metasystem is everything you can see from a static point that you're looking around from within the environment, from one point without moving. And when you do that, when you look around yourself and you see the horizon of your environment, then one of the things that we do is that we look from thing to thing within the environment, and we pick out these gestalts that we're looking at. And so the proto-gestalt, what I call a proto-gestalt, is the series in which we look at those things. And that depends on our priorities, on relevance, on significance, on the situation. There's a lot of things that determine in a given situation what we're going to look at gestalt by gestalt. And that means there's something which David Bohm called implicate order, and another thing that's been called our tacit knowledge. We have tacit knowledge of our environment, and there's implicate order within our environment. And so that's what's being expressed here in this this concept I call a proto-gestalt. And another interesting thing is that over time I was looking for a term in the English language that would capture this idea of the metasystem, and I found out eventually that it was the term scape. We talk about landscapes, we talk about seascapes, we talk about mindscapes, we talk about all kinds of scapes, but that word never exists on its own. But if that word existed on its own, it would be a perfect word to use for these metasystems. And so I tacked on the word open to say that I can substitute anything. I can substitute land or sea or whatever you want to do into that scape and define what a metasystem is. So this is the point about the duality of the gestalt and the flow. The real difference between a gestalt and a flow is that the figure is on the background and there's a tension between the figure and the background. But in the flow, what you have is you have the flow on the foreground and a reference point on the background. And so that difference of what is in the foreground, what is in the background, and a way to get this perceptually is to go to a stream somewhere when you're walking in the wood and look at rocks that are in the stream and look at the rocks that are just below the surface versus the rocks that are just poking up above the surface. And you'll see that there's a real perceptual difference between watching the flow of the water across the rocks and watching the flow of the water around the rocks. So that's the perceptual thing that I'm talking about. And so when we start talking about the proto-gestalt and the proto-flow, these are the two dualities on the metasystem side. So the proto-gestalt is the series, that sweep from gestalt to gestalt of the views that we have. Whereas if we're looking at these flows, and we're looking at, say, a river that has many flows within it and eddies and so forth, then what we're doing is we have these separate views that we're imposing on that river to see particular flows in that river. And so that collection of static views viewing flowing things are what I would call the proto-flow. So there's an interesting relationship between proto-gestalts and proto-flows that you might consider and try it out phenomenologically yourself to see whether or not you can see that difference. And another point, I mean, the last 2 days we've had this complex system working group. It's called System Science Working Group. And one of the things we've been talking about, complexity theory, and one of the things I'd like to point out here is the fact that, okay, if we accept there's a difference between systems and metasystems, then one of the things we have to recognize is that complexity affects both. And so you have complex systems and you have complex metasystems. The system schema is organized differently from the metasystem schema. And a point I want to make about that is these things are things that we project upon the phenomena, whatever it is. So we can look at exactly the same thing as a system or as a metasystem. But the key point is that when we look at it as one or the other, we will see different organizations to those. And so everyone's heard about complex adaptive systems. Those are systems that are resilient or adaptive. There's a lot of different words we tack on there for different concerns that we have. But environments are adaptive too. And so there's adaptation on both sides. And the point of metasystems theory is the adaption of the environment is different from the adaption of the system, because the system is closed and it's adapting to something on the outside. The metasystem, another way of thinking about metasystems is in terms of filters. You know, you put your disk into a Mac computer if it's a PC disk and nothing happens. Whereas you put your Mac disk into a PC computer, I mean, you put your PC disk into a Mac computer, it does read it. And so the thing is that metasystems reject, they do filtering on systems, and they'll only allow certain systems in. So all kinds of filtering activity is really a metasystem type of characteristic. And so similarly, you have chaotic systems and you have chaotic metasystems. And so there could be a question of whether chaos and complexity is something specific to metasystems, and I think it's something that are shared by both systems and metasystems. But the problem is that because we have this blind spot in our culture for metasystems, a lot of phenomena that are metasystemic are categorized as complex systems. So, you know, one of the points that I want to make here and encourage you to look at is the fact that the systems engineering discipline should be grounded in systems theory. Systems engineers should know systems theory. But we've got a problem. And the problem is that even if we had a good grounding in systems theory, the problem is that there isn't any metasystems theory. If you go out and look for books on metasystems, you won't find very many books. The only discipline that's really struggling with this is ecology and environmental studies and things like that. But for the most part, if you read the books, you'll see that they're looking at ecologies in a systemic way, not in a metasystemic way. And recently I found a book where what they were saying in the book is that we know there's another paradigm out there and we need this other paradigm, and they were trying to characterize what the metasystem paradigm would be like. And so they are struggling to develop this paradigm. But so there's systems theory and there's a lack of metasystems theory, so that's something that we need to develop. And then I want to make the point that there's systems engineering and there's metasystems engineering. And those are different disciplines based on different principles, but they have to be practiced together because every system has an environment. It has an environment on the outside, an environment on the inside. Now, just quickly, system and metasystem is part of a hierarchy of schemas. And I've tried to distinguish what this hierarchy of schemas are, and I've come up with a hypothesis. And basically, this is the hypothesis here in front of us, that the system and metasystem are the core of a hierarchy that has different scales to it, starting from monads to patterns to forms to systems to metasystems to domains and worlds and so forth. But the interesting thing about this is that once you distinguish clearly and formally between a system and a metasystem, like I did with the Turing machine, you find out that there are three special systems that are thresholds of organization and complexity that are between the system and the metasystem that you couldn't see before you distinguished them. And so the way that I want to talk about this is that systems, I think of them as gestalts. So they have emergent properties and they're wholes greater than the sum of their parts. A metasystem is the dual of a gestalt, of a gestalt or system, and that is a metasystem is a whole less than the sum of its parts. So example is a sponge. A sponge is a hole full of holes, right? Only in normal metasystems, what's happening is that those holes in the metasystem are the niches for systems, the possible niches for systems. And then, once you understand that there's these two possibilities, holes greater than the sum of their parts, holes less than the sum of their parts, then there's the possibility that there are holes that are exactly equal to the sum of their parts. And those are the special systems. And there's three different ways that characteristic of being equal to the sum of the parts are realized. And then the last thing is to say that, you know, if you recognize that there, you know, we're called systems engineers, we do the systems engineering discipline, but really we deal with environments all the time, we just don't have a good theory of that. So really we need to think of ourselves as engineering at any schematic level. In other words, we should be able to engineer at each of those levels, and we should be able to create emergent effects in any schematic level. And so I think that a more proper term for our discipline is emergent engineering. And what, because what we're after, emergent characteristics, no matter what the schematic level is, and the fact that we're called systems engineers is just an accident of history, that during the 20th century the system took over as the major schema by which things are considered. And then the third, the next thing that I won't get into is the fact that there is another configuration here, that once you recognize that there are these special systems and they're partially systems, partially metasystems, and there are specific thresholds of organization, then you can realize that a system together with these special systems give you a metasystem. And they are a model of the metasystem. So, and this has a mathematical basis in hypercomplex algebras. And so there's you know, the point that I'd like to make is there are mathematical basis for these ideas, and also there are physical phenomena that have these types of organizations that have been discovered by science. For the most part, they're anomalous physical phenomena, like, for instance, superconductivity. So the rest of my briefing, and if you look at my paper, you'll see that I set out a series of challenges to understand intelligent organizations, and these challenges have to do with these things that I've been talking about, that developing a metasystem theory, developing a metasystems engineering, and developing our view of systems engineering as covering all of these schemas. And then ultimately, in terms of intelligent enterprise, we need to apply these principles of intelligent enterprise ourselves. And so how do we do intelligent systems engineering enterprises? How do we create those in our own companies? And so that's what the paper itself is about, is trying to apply this theory to intelligent enterprises, which was the topic of the conference. But in I can't remember what year, but several years ago, I wrote a paper, say, on anti-terror metasystems engineering, considering terrorism as a example of metasystems engineering. So you can look in previous symposia about that. And also, I wrote a paper called Metasystems Engineering, which tries to be more precise about what that's about. I just got stopped.